Hey now, welcome to another episode of the Curfew Boys. Before we get things started, if you like what you hear, you can listen to us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and any other podcast platform you like to listen to. And if you want to see our beautiful faces, you can follow us and subscribe on YouTube. Also, you can follow us on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and TikTok for more Habs content. And that said, let me introduce you to my boys tonight. I mean, boy, we just have...
I'm the only boy here.
We got Fireman Sam in the house.
Hey now.
You got me, Anxious Anthony. The rest of the guys are off duty tonight, but they're here in spirit.
Yeah.
Sammy.
Yes, sir. Yes.
Are you in the Christmas spirit yet?
Not yet. The girlfriend, as much as she loves hearing that phrase when I call her the girlfriend, really, really wants to put up the Christmas tree like ASAP. So we haven't gotten started yet, but it'll come along within the next week or so. But I'm excited for the Christmas holiday. I'm not excited for the snow that might be coming our way within the next 24 hours or probably during the time when this podcast is finally released on YouTube. I'm not excited for that, but I am excited for the Christmas season. I have to say,
I'm actually excited for the snow. I like snow between November 1st and December 25th. As of December 26th, I don't want snow anymore because I find the snow puts me in the Christmas.
Well, I don't know what it's the last couple of years. We don't get snow up until what, January,
after
February?
Christmas.
Not to open up the whole can of worms about like global warming or climate change and all that shit, but there's probably some facts behind it. It's just the temperatures are changing a little bit. It's not like when we were kids.
It's snow in October.
But this is why, like, in a sense, it sucks because like you're the whole ODR shinny season. Playing outdoor hockey only lasts like a month.
Yeah.
And usually it's the month of February, which is always the coldest month during our winters. But you know what I mean? You used to go play before Christmas, you used to go play after Christmas, before New Year's, after New Year's, and into February. Now it's like if you're lucky, if you get good, decent cold weather for outdoor hockey in January. If not, you gotta wait till December. Like that part of winter sucks.
Yeah.
But I also heard that we're gonna get a lot of snow this winter, which does suck. But if that means that our winter is not as cold,
I'll take snow over cold.
Yeah, I think so too. I'm done with the cold with these fucking minus 30 degree weathers and add in the freezing factor or whatever you want to call it.
Okay, so we're depressing our fans.
Yeah, we are.
We're depressing even more when we talk about the Habs. But before we get there, I want to ask you, this weekend, you and GQ Chris went to Habs Cave. There was a fundraiser for the Leo Foundation.
Yeah, man. Very, very, very fun event. You know, Sunil from Habs Cave, you know, he, like always, he's out down himself. You know, he got excellent food. Excellent pizza. I got sandwiches. He had chicken wings. He had donuts. He had cannolis. Like you would think it was a bit of like an Italian fest, like meats, chicken wings. However, the stars of the night were obviously kind of to celebrate the 1986 Stanley Cup champion. So he had Rick Green there. He had Sergio Mameso, Paisano, and he had the legendary Chris Nyland. Got to meet all three of them. Chris got to meet all three of them. Great guys. Spoke to Rick Green a lot. And we had some good conversations about, you know, the game of hockey now versus the time he played. I told a couple of stories, a couple of Guy Lafleur stories, which were pretty cool. But on the overall, it was a fun night. We saw Jess from the painter, JB. I think her Instagram name is JB Art Montreal. She's awesome. Her husband was there too. Great couple. She's just an awesome woman. The boys from Habs, no longer Habs Fan TV, but HFTV, they were there too. We chatted along. It was a fun event. There were a lot of other guys that that Sunil is basically associated with that were there. And it was just, it was just a fun event.
I think they raised almost $10,000 or more.
We raised over $10,000 for the Liam Foundation. That goes towards Kevin and his son Liam and all the other kids that are suffering from that disease. So it was a fun event. It was really cool. We got to watch the hockey game against the St. Louis Blues, which was not exactly the highlight of the night. Let's just say. But since we're on that subject, yeah, it was a fun night getting together with a group of Habs fans. The game itself, though, was
We'll get to that just before we finalize this the segment here. If you guys want to follow Habs Cave, it's Instagram at Habs Cave. He's an amazing guy, big heart, an amazing person. Yeah. He's been, you know, helping this Liam Foundation for quite a while now. That's how we met originally, because mm-hmm. the Liam Foundation, his basement is every man's dream.
Every Habs fan's man's dream.
Yeah, but also it's a mix of a Habs fan and a man's dream to have a basement like that. He's an amazing wife to allow that. But if you guys want to follow him, it's at Habs Cave on Instagram, I believe, right?
Yeah. It's just type in Habs Cave and you'll know right away. There's only one of them, and it's just
an amazing basement, a lot of memorabilia. He has pretty much everything you can think of, and lot of stuff. So follow him. And so we started with a depressing conversation about snow, cold, and now let's move on to our beloved Habs. From it's crazy. I just don't understand, you know. We come off an amazing game against the Vegas Knights. You know, one of the mm-hmm. best games we played in almost two seasons. Mm-hmm. And you would think that the momentum will build from there. Yeah. And they just crashed. It's won that's including the Vegas game. We've lost four games in a row now.
Yeah.
I guess we got that 1 point against Vegas, but four losses in a row. And there's no momentum being built from that. We just went downhill mm-hmm. after an amazing game. Like, I just don't understand.
It's so a lot of people are questioning if Marty should have said, I don't know if it's a lot of people, maybe some members of the media, and it's okay. Like, Marty St. Louis told the media, he's like, I want to be honest with you guys as much as I can. And after that Vegas game, he was full on honest with them, saying, this is probably the best game this team has played for me, or since I've been coach of this team, this is the best game from start to finish that this team has played. And a lot of people are wondering that, should he have really said that? Because I don't know if it's not ruining the momentum, but like, if you hear your coach say that the next game, it's like, oh, the players don't have to worry so much anymore. Type of sense. I don't buy that personally, but you know, if you heard the press conference today, the early afternoon or the late before noon press conference that the Canadians have, like Marty himself, he said, look, this is a young team. I'm still a young coach. I got to figure out, you know, when we're doing the things, some of the things that we're doing so well are hiding the things we're not doing well. So him as a new coach, he's got to figure out that even though we always focus on, you know, the things that are working, he's got to find that balance on how to also address some of the things they need to improve on. And I think he's done that with, you know, I want to say he's done that a little bit with the power play. It was terrible when they started, but now, you know, they're getting at least one power play goal a game, more or less, which is encouraging given that this team and
want to compare it to the past and or, you know,
let's just compare it to last year. Like, now they're in the middle of the pack, which is, you know, kind of expected. I thought they could have been. I thought just the way they started the season, their power play was going to be terrible all year. Right now, they're in the middle of the pack. It's still early in the season, but for now, I think that's the part of the game he's been working on. Now the obvious is this. They are not starting lately. Take away the Vegas game, but they are not starting strong, and they are not starting sharp.
They're not starting strong, and they're not starting strong, so that kills their momentum, because like we had said the last episode, what you guys said the last episode, because I wasn't on, this catch-up game is not going to sustain all season, right? And you can tell that they're trying to get there, right? Like, for example, yesterday, you know, I know we're skipping a few games, but I just want to... You know,
yeah, we go against a Tampa for sure. Like that,
you know, it's 4-0 in the first period. Your momentum is done. Now, a question for you, actually. I thought about this yesterday. Mm-hmm. That somewhat catch up at the end of the third, because our second period was fantastic. You know, yes, we couldn't put in that goal in.
It was.
They played a very good second period.
They did.
But now the third period comes along and we kind of have a little hope that there might be a comeback, right? 4-2. But is that because they played better, or was it because Tampa just, you know, took their foot off the gas and just played nonchalant, right? They're up 4-0, 5 minutes left.
Well, here's the thing. You got it could be a mixture of both. It could be a mixture of a bunch of things. It could be the Canadians probably were pressing the gas pedal a little bit more than Tampa. But this is the Tampa Bay Lightning. They got so much skill and so much talent and so much experience against the second youngest team in the NHL. Even if they decrease their effort by 10%, I'm just shooting numbers here. Yeah, they're still a better team, no matter what, than the Canadiens are right now. So I just think the experience that they have. Look, Tampa Bay's defense is great. They could afford to at that point. You know, had the Canadians made it 4-3, then it would have been interesting to see if Tampa was going to be like, oh shit, okay, like guys, we need to step it back up.
And they could have went that way, but again, another stupid penalty from Jack.
Not just Jack. I think the Jake Evans holding penalty really.
That was another one that just killed the game right there.
But for sure, and going back to Marty about that Jack Eye penalty, he flat out said, he's like, I didn't like it, and I mean. You could question it. Was it really a penalty? There was a scrum going on, but like, again, it's they're a young team, and we're probably going to be repeating this a good chunk of the season. They're still going to have to learn how to deal with the emotions and how to pick their moments.
As I'm trying to understand, I mean, I know it's still early in the game, but we keep saying it's early, but already it's 12 games in.
Yeah, exactly. Well, now, exactly that. And this goes back to a previous episode. I don't know if it was the last one that you weren't there, but by like the 15th game mark, even pushed to the 20, now you know the identity of this team. To see the identity of this team, and you get an idea more or less if this team's going to make the playoffs or not.
Because, yeah, and it was the last episode because I heard you guys talk about that, the 15 game mark. That's where you
see the identity. Exactly.
But, you know, the beginning of the season – they kind of surprised us, right? Like they were playing very well. They were proving to us that they weren't the team that we expected, right? You know, yes, we all hoped to make playoffs this year, but they showed us that they're going to fight for it. Right. Now, again, still too early. We're 5-5-2, but you know, they started off strong. Then they started this whole catch-up game the last six games, and now it's biting us. You know, they're biting us in the ass because this whole catch-up thing, you can't sustain it. Now, what should they be doing going forward? Because we need to wake up. And this goes to our, you keep saying young team, and they are, and we're missing experience, but the players that have the experience are not showing up. And I'm going to bring up Mr. Nick Suzuki. I love the guy.
Yeah.
And, you know, he had a breakout season last year. And he had it without Caulfield. You know, he was playing fantastic with Caulfield. Then Caulfield got injured and he just continued playing, you know, the Suzuki that we all expect him to be. And we thought that this year would be another great year. And he's not, he hasn't shown up since game one. You know what I mean?
I get what you're saying, but like, yeah, he definitely
I'm
had.
I'm not blaming him.
There's no blame. No, there's no blame. But sometimes you have to. for lack of a better term, call out the players that need to step up. I think Nick Suzuki, I don't think he's playing his best, but I don't think he's playing as bad as the start of the season. He's putting up points as the games go on. But sometimes, too, he needs to tighten up defensively. There was a goal. I don't know if it was Nick Paul's goal. He was left all alone. Jake Allen had no chance, but like it was terrible. It was terrible zone coverage. So here are the veterans that I think need to step up. And again, love the guy. Josh Anderson right now, not for lack of
scored a goal yet.
Josh Anderson, not for lack of trying, because I thought the game against Tampa Bay, like Caulfield was buzzing. Caulfield was trying. The second player after him, I thought, was Josh Anderson. But right now, I think it's a mixture of he's not playing smart, and the other half of it's just the bounces are not going his way. Like yesterday, I thought he had a chance. He tipped a shot, got the rebound to him, and just fanned on the shot. Like he had an open net. He would have scored.
I think it's a mental thing now because, you know, he had
it's 1,000% a mental game, not just for him. I think for a good part of the team as well.
I think it was the press conference against the Coyotes right before the game. I was listening to 690 and he's like, I've never started a season not scoring at this point yet.
Exactly.
And saying that out loud, then you're going into the game trying to score that goal. Mm-hmm. I think at this point now it's a mental thing. And I think if he scores that first goal, it'll break the ice and maybe he'll wake up from that point. But right now, I think he's trying too hard.
He is streaky. He's one of those players, like he's a bit of a lesser. Let's go with Max Pacioretty, because he was the last goal scorer that was streaky. When Max Pacioretty finally got a goal, usually it was an empty netter, then the floodgates would open. This is what we hope for Josh Anderson. Not expecting him to score 30 goals. At this rate, I don't even know if he's going to crack 20. We all know he could. I don't know yet, but I think once he does break the ice, hopefully the floodgates open and he does score a little bit more. I do think it's a mental thing, though, absolutely, especially for Josh Anderson, because there was one power play, I want to say, in the early third period. Him and Cole were doing these kind of like these tic-tac-toe back-and-forth passes, and all he had to do was just shoot. He had a very, very good chance. They were making all these passing plays and ended up leading to zero shots on net.
It's definitely
I think it's a mental thing. They just need to stop trying so hard. And I know it's tough to say, it's easier said than done, and I'm not in their skates. I'm not a professional player, but like, man, sometimes, you know, it all comes down to what Gretzky says. You miss 100% of the shots you don't take, man. Sometimes, man, just at that point, just put it on net. You never know. I know it's a power play, and I know you want to get the defensive squad to move around so that they could get off position and you give yourself a bank scoring chance. Another guy, too, I think mentally right now, the last three games, I think Mike Matheson is another one of them. You know, like, and again, not for lack of trying. Like, these guys are trying. I truly believe that. Him too. I think we don't know. Some are speculating he still might be injured after he missed the game and went on the road trip to Arizona.
Because Matheson, before Arizona, he was playing fantastic. Like,
yeah, I know.
But he was playing well, right? Where
it's weird. The veterans that are stepping up.
I know he's like,
okay. Well, listen, we got to give credit where it's due. Like the Gallagher, Monahan,
okay,
Tanner Pearson line, it's working.
Okay. Speaking of Gallagher,
yeah,
Joey might be happy.
Joey is getting his fucking he's getting his party props on right now.
Do you think? I had a conversation today with a friend of mine.
Okay.
With Gallagher stepping up the way he's stepping up, and he's been playing the Gallagher that we all see, like the guy who, you know, Bergevin gave that contract to.
Well, gets rewarded for his efforts. Yes.
So I don't think he'll sustain this all season. Okay. Wow, Joey, happy. I don't think Gallagher will sustain this all season, but if he does, and that means he doesn't get injured and he continues playing this way.
Miracle. Okay.
Do you think that value kind of
Goes up.
And then come trade deadline, a team who needs to make the playoffs or makes the playoffs, because you know how Gallagher is in the playoffs. The guy is all heart.
Yeah.
And with the grind that he has and the way he plays, he could be a very big help for a playoff team.
Yeah, but I yes, theoretically,
you
know, yes.
Like if he continues playing this way and he's healthy, come March, you think a team would want to pick him up? And again, he's not a first liner or a second liner. He could be a good fit on a third line or fourth line for a team who is, you know, stacked everywhere. It just needs that extra player, like the Mike Evans that we had a few years back, where third liner and putting those key goals in. You know what I mean? Like, I think it could be a possibility.
There's gonna have to be a lot of salary retention, because
100%. But I'll do it.
Not at that contract, and I don't. Again, a lot of these teams, when they do want these players, a lot of them are at the end of their contracts. Gallagher still has another 3 years left after this year.
That's the only thing that's killing us right now.
It's 1,000% that this is where Joey goes back to. It's not the player that Joey hates. It's that stupid contract. Yeah. It's the contract that hurts everyone. Also, not to mention that he is injury prone lately, and he has been
he's going to sustain what we're seeing.
Well, there could be that too. If he is healthy by some miracle and he's continued to play that way, I mean, maybe Kent Hughes might inquire, or maybe another team might be like, you know what? If we take him at three in the playoffs,
he's scary.
I think the chances are slim to none.
100%.
But I mean, for the sake of speaking hypothetically and your scenarios here, I think anything's possible. Here's a scenario now that literally raised a lot of eyebrows. The Edmonton Oilers putting goaltender Jack Campbell on waivers.
That's another conversation I had today.
Now, I think now it's a lot more plausible that, hey, we got three goaltenders. Now the goaltender market kind of opened up for the Edmonton Oilers.
And I think we can get high value for a goaltender against them, because Edmonton's not doing very well. Okay. No, they're having not. A really bad start.
Oh my God,
the dressing room is just whatever. I think we can get, you know, some good value for one of our goalies. Now, which one? I still don't know. I still don't know who I want to give up. You know what I mean? Well, like, Montabo is not showing. I mean, he's having his moments, but he's not showing the consistency he had last year.
Yeah, but again, it's listen. Last night against the Tampa Bay Lightning, I felt bad for Jake Allen. And I think this is the second time where he wins the Molson Cup of the Month, Player of the Month, starts that game and gets destroyed. And this reminded me of, like, watching Allen play against the Tampa Bay Lightning. Reminded me of last season when he played against the Colorado Avalanche. And I was at that game. It was just one of those games where no matter who takes the shot on the opposite team, no matter where he takes the shot from, it's just going in. And that's what happened. And the funny thing is, I can't remember for the life of me, but I might be on something. The game against Colorado, I was talking about, I think Jake Allen won the Molson Cup for the month. I'm not 100% sure, but when I was watching that game against Tampa Bay, the flashbacks I had were the game against Tampa Bay against Colorado Avalanche. Excuse me. Just he couldn't stop a beach ball. And Jake Allen, to his credit, he deserved the Molson Cup of the Player of the Month. Yeah. He really did. He stood on his head for this team. A couple of games that they won, it's because he actually stole the game. Sam Montembeau relieving him actually played very well.
I mean,
I
think all three goalies are adding. Like, look, it was Joey that brought up the stats a few days ago where it was the goalies who's been winning our games. You know, the five wins, you know, the 5-5 in general. It's been our goalies helping us win the games. And I think all three right now have high value. So I think
but the least goalie, like, everyone's there's like, oh, maybe this is Primo's chance. Like, this is where this is what the Edmonton, if ever there is an offer to the Edmonton Oilers, if Kent Hughes picks up the phone, calls fucking Kenny Holland and tells him, hey, man, I got a goalie for you, still young, whatever. I don't think Primo's played enough games this season. Why?
That's what I'm trying to understand here. We have these three goalies. You know that one's going to get traded. Why is he on the bench still? Like, why aren't you putting him on and giving him that ice time to build that value? Because he played one game. And
I thought, exactly. But I thought since the way he played against New Jersey,
I thought he would have seen him.
Forget what happened. Forget what happened in the third period of that game. But just the whole team just fucking collapsed. But it wasn't Primo's fault. I actually thought in the road trip before coming back to Montreal versus Tampa, I thought Primo was going to be given a shot against Arizona.
Because
no offense to the Arizona Coyotes, but it's because it's the Arizona Coyotes.
Yeah.
And I thought maybe Jake Allen should have had to start in St. Louis since, you know, he has history there. And it wasn't the case. So, and I know Jake Allen made a statement like he wants to play more. I get it. I don't blame him. But I think Hughes, Gordon, and Marty, they need to start figuring this out real soon.
100%. I mean, because if you're going to have a goalie on the block and you have three, well, you need to start playing all three of them, especially Primo, because he's the guy we all believe, right, that he's the guy who's going to go.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, if you want to get good assets from him, you need to show these teams like Edmonton, this guy has still, you know, juice in him, right? Yeah. Like you just said, having a conversation with the GM in Edmonton, hey, I have a young goalie, still young, but no one's seen him play at the NHL level at a good, you know, like we've seen him in Laval. He plays fantastic in Laval.
Plays well in Laval, but,
you know, but at the NHL level, he hasn't proven the goalie he could be. Mind you, except the last game, but then just, you know, one game only.
That's it. So what does that do to him mentally? And if you think about this, what does it do to all three of them mentally? Like, how do you prepare? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, and Jake Allen said this too in a press conference. He's like, I got to take it a day at a time because I never know when I'll get the call. So, you know, in practice, you have to always be. But that's the thing. It's how do you, as a goalie in that situation, how do you mentally prepare myself? I'll never know the answer.
So maybe that is why these goalies are, you know, maybe this is the answer why the stats show that the goalies are the best players on the ice, because all three are playing for that spot. All three don't even know what tomorrow brings. One of them is getting that call sooner than later. Not playing the whole season with three goals.
No, it's not. And Jeff Gordon confirmed it. And again, now we hear the news about the Oilers and Jack Campbell. Like, out of all three of them, I mean, it's so funny how last season a lot of people were calling for Jake Allen to get traded to Edmonton. It seemed like a good partnership and all that. And it's like, but like, how could they? There's just doesn't seem like there's any room. Like now that, oh my God, there's actually a room for him. It's like, if you sent Jake Allen there though, do you think Primo's ready to be the backup of Montembeau? Do you think Montembeau's ready to grab the reins?
But that's the thing that kind of fits the storyline here, because Allen wants more ice time. He said it, right? Mm-hmm. Now, as a GM and a coach of the Montreal Canadiens who are trying to build their team and build the chemistry and grow that young team, you got to make that decision of who's your future goalie. And Allen is not our future goalie. We all know that. Like,
no.
His career is coming to an end. But now he's demanding more ice time, which takes away ice time for Montembeau and Primo, right? And these are the two goalies who we all think that's going to build this team. Right. Yeah. So the only thing that makes sense in this situation is Allen goes to a team like Edmonton, who's going to put him pretty much 90% of the time. And then you go back and forth with Montembeau and Primo here in Montreal to find who's your number one goalie. Because we all said it. we're building this quote-unquote dynasty. We're building this new era of the Montreal Canadiens with this young core. Allen does not fit this core in the future. He fits in a team that's trying to make playoffs. He fits in a team because his career is coming to an end. He wants to win. Yeah. He wants to try to win one more time. He still has that juice left in him, but he's not a future. He's not our future. Montavo and Primo kind of burns to say that out loud, but unless we trade them, they are our future, and you need to give them the most ice time to build that chemistry with this team.
Yeah, I totally see that, but I think it comes down to cap room as well. So maybe the only out of those three, the only guys they could afford is probably Primo, and I say that probably just based on what I'm looking at cap friendly real briefly. You know what I mean? And the thing is like, do the Edmonton Oilers, do they want another goalie in his 30s? Like Jack Campbell's 31. And now the guy they called up, hold on, let me go get his name here real quick. But the guy they called up, I just checked, he's in his 30s also. So I don't know. Here, hold on. What's his name? I'm gonna get it right here. Calvin Pickard, however you want to call it. You know what I mean? He's 31 years old. Stuart Skinner's 25. You know, Primo's 23. He's going to turn 24 soon, I believe.
But Primo is a goalie that needs – see, that's the thing, okay? Because he hasn't shown his value yet at the NHL level.
Yeah. He's 24 years old. There you go.
Edmonton is not looking for a rebuild. They're looking to win, right? Mm-hmm. They have the team.
That's the other thing too. So
they're not going to go pick up Primo to start over, right? Because they don't know what he's capable of doing. They need an Allen, and I know what you're saying that why go get a 30-year-old, but they're not in a position of rebuilding. Montreal is. So if you look at what we have, we're in that rebuild. We're still in that rebuild, right?
Yeah,
whatever you want to call it, but we're still there. We're not contending. We're not winning the cup. We're not at that point. So you need a Montavo and Primo to build our team, kind of.
Yeah.
Edmonton does not want. I mean, again, I'm just talking as if I'm the GM.
I agree. I agree. I don't think they're in the rebuild phase, but I mean, Jesus Christ, if they don't demonstrate something soon, I think they're going to implode. Look at, I'm giving Calgary a best example. Like at one point, they looked like a contending team. They lost Matthew Tkachuk, then they lost Johnny Gaudreau. Done. Another team that I can think of too is I had them at the tip of my tongue. I'll get back to it. But yes, absolutely. Like the Edmonton Oilers, just like the Toronto Maple Leafs, it's kind of like look, it's now or never type of deal with all the firepower they're supposed to have. So I totally get in that sense too, because I had that thought in the back of my mind. It's like okay, but if you're going to get Primo, he's still a young goalie. Like, is he really gonna grow with this team? Can he bring something to the table to help this team get to the next level? And to them, the next level is the fucking Stanley Cup almost.
So I don't know.
I really don't know. Oh my god, this is gonna bug the shit out of me that I can't think of the other team I had in mind. I was thinking Calgary. I was thinking which other team fucking imploded?
Oh my.
No, well, New Jersey, they're in the rebuild, but Jesus Christ, like they're kind of like.
I see Jersey going and pick up Primo, if they wouldn't want to, because.
Well, it depends too. I think New Jersey is comfortable with their goalie settings. To be honest, I mean.
Well, at the beginning they weren't. There was a whole big talk at the beginning of the season where they wanted a goalie.
No, but I think Vanecek is, you know, making a name of himself.
He's making a name of himself. So I don't think they're going to get him.
Yeah, and he's in his prime age too, at the age of 27. But them too, like if you look at a lot of these teams, it's like they're so top heavy. They got very good defensemen. The goalie is not so much. But this could also come back to your point that it's like, man. If these teams ride out a hot streak where everybody's playing well in front of the goalie and the goalie just needs to be the key saves at certain times, kind of like the Colorado Avalanche, they didn't. I remember we talked about this many times. Maybe that's Vanecek for the New Jersey Devils, which I truly believe. If Jack Hughes is good to go again and he doesn't get injured and the rest of the guys don't get injured, they got Tyler Toffoli who's fucking just shows like he's aging like fine wine. Oh, you got a new Yeah, sorry. I saw that. No, it's all good. But yeah, man, I don't know. I really, look, I think we all know who the future number one is, and not to get ahead of ourselves, but I think Jacob Fowler, like he's killing it at Boston College. He won the goalie. I think he won the goalie of the month. So, you know, and Lane Hudson is Lane Hudson too. Just got a hat trick. It's like, that so many Has fans cannot wait for Lane Hudson. But all that to say is going back to the veterans, Anthony, I really think David Savard being injured is hurting them.
And Doc, like, I think after
God, I know.
Everything changed after the MLS.
I was thinking the exact same. I was thinking to them, like, my God, fuck, for so many reasons why I hate the Doc injury, his season-ending injury. There's so many reasons why I hate it. And, like, I really, really wanted to see how, like, it could things shoulda, woulda, coulda, I know, but could things be different if Doc was in the lineup?
100% right now, our stats would be in a different – we would be in a different position if Doc and Savard would be here, because surprisingly, we had Doc, who was killing it in the front,
just
Savard
two games.
Killing it in the back. So it's not like
we lost
two random players. We lost someone who was hot in the front and hot in the back. Really sounds horrible how I just said that out loud, but you know, man, what I'm trying to say.
It's all about scoring in the end. Huh? So.
But you know what I mean? Like,
that's hilarious.
You know, we and the goalies were playing amazing. Our forwards were playing fantastic, and they were clicking. Everybody was clicking.
Yeah.
Defensively and offensively. Now, back to clicking and chemistry talk.
Mm-hmm.
Something that's been bothering me since forever with the Montreal Canadiens. I find we rush too much in changing lineups. Okay?
Okay.
It doesn't. You cannot put three guys together and hope that they click right away. It happens, yes. We've seen in the NHL where you put three guys together and they right away they click. They're the best line in the league and whatever. But since we're in that building stage and we have a lot of young players with no experience and blah, 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 you want to talk like that, you need to give them time. The number one line has been changing almost every game. You know, like Slavkovsky in the first line, then you put Pinard in the first line. Like, I think we should give more time to Slavkovsky in the first line. I think we're rushing him out too fast, because you cannot give the guy first line minutes and then the day after or mid game you take him out because he's not performing. You need to build chemistry.
Well, no, I think at one point, and I think I know what you're talking about, we saw Slavkovsky not playing with Nick and Cole against Tampa. And I think it was just because of the way the Canadiens were on. I don't know if the Canadiens were on a penalty kill or they were on a power play. The power play ended. Nick and Cole stayed on the ice and the fifth attacker was still there. So it looked like Slavkovsky wasn't playing with them. I kind of get what you're saying. To me, I think Slavkovsky looks the most comfortable since the start of the season, outside of playing with Kirby Doc, which I still believe.
That was amazing.
I still believe, like, I said this last episode, Ant, but you weren't there.
No, maybe I heard what you said.
You might agree with me on this one. I think as soon as Doc went out, Slavkovsky was like, fuck.
Yep.
And it might sound like an excuse or a reason or clicking, whatever the heck you want to call it. They were clicking preseason. That play they made for Newhook against Toronto was like clockwork. They looked like they had something. And we, as Habs fans, were all like, oh, my God, this is the Slavkovsky we hope improved. Yeah. Ever since then, it was...
I think the whole team, the momentum died after Doug had that season.
Yeah, I think so, too. I think they really felt horrible for him. You know, they still found ways to win by coming back, but... But finally, you know, if we all remember when Slavkovsky got drafted and they asked him, who do you see yourself playing with? He did say Nick and Cole.
Yeah.
And now he has his chance. And I think
we should keep him there for a while.
I totally agree. And one thing I've noticed about Slavkovsky is he looks a lot more comfortable out there. He looks a little bit more engaged. Not totally. He's just got to know. Like, how do I say this? He's just got to play with maybe a bit, I don't know if the term playing a bit more grit is for Slafkovský, but he just...
He needs to play more grit. He's not using his body enough. And we've been saying this since last year.
He got hit badly too at one point along the boards. But he's only 19. He's a big kid, big frame kid, but he's not physically mature yet.
Yeah.
And I think that's what we all need to realize. Like, when this kid reaches 22, 23 and finally grows into his man body, holy fuck, yes, he will be a force to reckon with. But right now, it's still not there yet. I just want him to be at the right place at the right time. I just, again, he's just got to know what to do when he's got the puck, which when he has the puck, he doesn't always...
I don't think he has the IQ, the NHL IQ yet. I think that's the age.
That's going to come. That's going to come with time and with experience. That's going to come. You could kind of... I know they say you can't really teach hockey IQ. It's either you have it or you don't. It's like, you could see that he has it. He looks for the perfect pass, and a lot of the times he gets them. He actually makes good plays. He can make very good plays. It's just, he's just got to know, like, when's the time to make a pass? When's the time to shoot on net? And a lot of times, because he's got the big body, and he knows that Nick and Cole are, especially Cole, is the main shooter on that line, all he has to do is just park his ass in front of that goalie.
Yeah.
That's all he has to do.
And imagine that size in front of the goalie. You know,
a thousand percent.
With Cole Snipe, the rebound. Like, Slav could be the big version of Gallagher, you know, because, or the offensive Chara, you know, a big guy like that, you know, with grit in front of the goalie.
He almost scored a goal that way against St. Louis, even though it was a terrible game. He almost scored a goal like that by parking his ass in front of the net and try to pick up the garbage goals. And he almost scored again against Tampa Bay that way. So
I think it's too early to throw in the towel for Slav. Like, look at Jack
Hughes. Not
Everybody
even,
was a
not
flop.
Even close.
Took him 3 years to become a superstar.
If Jack Hughes took the exact same road, the exact same route he did in New Jersey, the first 3.5 years of his career in New Jersey, if you would have done that in Montreal, and let's say if it was Bergevin that drafted him, they would have asked for his head on a fucking platter. This kid's a bust. How the heck could we pass on fucking who got drafted that year after? I think I don't know if it was Nolan. No, because Nolan Patrick got drafted by Nico Hischier. Anyways, you know how the fan base would have been, right?
Yeah.
And look at him now. I honestly think before Jack Hughes went down, to me, he's the best player in the world.
Oh, right now?
More than McDavid. And I love Connor McDavid. We all know Connor McDavid is. Duh. But to me, right now, the best player in the world is Jack Hughes before he got hurt.
So Jack Hughes was number one. Sorry, I just want to go back to that.
No. Perfect.
Second was Bowen Byram. And then number three was Kirby Dach.
Yeah, that's right. Oh, well, imagine. The Canadiens fans would have been like, well, we needed a center. They should have gotten Kirby Dach instead. Well, guess what?
You know what? Caulfield was number eight that draft. And Zegras was number six. So you know what? Like,
know,
that
no, no,
year.
No. Caulfield wasn't eight. No. Yeah. Caulfield. But no, he wasn't eight overall.
Top prospects. Okay, I'm looking at the wrong. Sorry, guys. I'm looking at the wrong list.
No, but it was the same year.
So
hold on.
Capo Kako was number two.
Yeah. Oh, there you go. There
Kirby
you go.
Dach was number three.
Yeah. So Habs fans would have been calling out for Capo Kako. Yeah. Bowen Byram. I'm like, no, the Bowen Byram was number.
He was number four. He was number four.
Exactly. Yeah. Caulfield 15. Alex Newhook 16. Right after. Hey, fuck. Look at that. I forgot about that. You know what I mean? So, like, anyways, that's just how certain members of this fan base, not all of them. No, dude, I'm not even close to throwing in the towel. And the Curfew Boys put out a tweet the other day. It was a couple of minutes before the puck drop against Tampa Bay. And in a sense, it kind of bit us back in the ass. But the tweet was, do you know what's best for Juraj Slafkovský's development? Marty St. Louis. And we tweeted that. And I truly believe that. And I think I could speak for the entire Curfew Boys staff that we do agree with that. And it's apparently Marty is the only one that talks to him, to Slafkovský, one-on-one. There's nobody else that talks to him about Unless, look, I don't know what the deal is. I don't know if like an assistant coach is allowed that under Marty's permission, supervision, whatever the heck. But apparently Marty's the only one that talks to him as the coaching staff on what to do, how to play, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And if there's one veteran I'm thankful that could help teach this kid, I'm so thankful for Sean Monahan. And I've said this before, I'll say this again. Sean Monahan is the glue that's holding this team together right now through good times and bad. And it's because of him that Tanner Pearson is looking pretty good. It's because of him. It's definitely because of him that Brendan Gallagher is scoring. And initially, I wanted Juraj Slafkovský to play on the line with Sean Monahan. But I am happy that he's playing with Nick and Cole. You know, they're still part of the future. But with Christian Dvorak coming back, two games in, he's got a goal at least, you know, even though you barely recognize him. With Dvorak coming back, I really wanted the second line to be Monahan with Slafkovský and Anderson. And I thought they were going to put Newhook on the first line. But I'm actually, right now, it's, I don't know, it's talking about the lines again. It's for Josh Anderson, he's got to find someone that could support him like when he takes the puck in the zone, because he's got that north-south, you know, game, right? And yeah. I think Josh Anderson could use a Sean Monahan, but you can't take Sean Monahan away from Pearson and Gallagher. Yeah. They're gonna disappear if they take him, if yeah. Marty takes him off that line. So look, it's back to the drawing board, but all that to say is, like, look, this episode is based off like really bad starts, you know, of their hockey games. If they could tighten up and play sharp in the first period, that's fuck, yeah. You know, stop. Don't let two goals at least. You know, the last four games they've been letting in eight goals. They let in eight goals in the first period, so they're averaging.
I think it's exactly that. It's the first period drought that they have, because second and third they're not playing that bad. I mean, look at yesterday. The second period was amazing, you know? Yeah. Well, amazing. But they were there.
They're fighting.
They were fighting hard and no goals on both sides.
Which is weird because last year, this team under Marty started amazing.
And
always
bad.
Started amazing. Now and bad.
The opposite.
Yeah, they couldn't keep leads. They would have a couple leads, but they couldn't keep them.
Yeah.
Now it's like, fuck, they're giving up early leads and they're playing catch up and either winning in overtime because Cole is sniping them, or it just ain't happening.
Yeah.
So
anyways, it's only 12 games in.
Like
you said, let's wait for the 15 mark and the identity will come out.
Absolutely.
You can't keep saying it's still early in the season, because
we're almost a quarter done. So
yeah,
it's true. Last thing I want to mention is, I don't know if you noticed, Brendan Gallagher was practicing with a net guard.
Yes. So, a lot of people are starting to wear the net guard now.
Yeah, which is, you know, and obviously you can't blame them. Just, again, what happened to Adam Johnson, like...
Did you guys... I don't know if you spoke about this.
Well, we spoke about it last episode, but we talked about whether net guard should be mandatory in the NHL. I'm pretty sure Chris and Joey said, you know, they'll probably enforce, maybe not enforce it, but highly encourage players. But look, if you're starting to see slowly, like, players are trying them out, they're making decisions for themselves, and you know, it's a touchy subject for sure.
But can I say something? Like,
yeah,
I don't want to open up a can of worms, and I know you have to go soon, but
yeah, no problem.
I don't know if you watched that play of what happened.
Right? I did.
And now there's moments where it happens, right? Freak accidents happen when a player falls and his skate goes up and you're at the wrong place at the wrong time. You know, that happens. We've seen it, whatever. But in this specific situation, I mean, watching that replay over and over again, the guy was doing a drop kick. He wasn't falling. He was actually...
Yeah, wow. I beg you, Anthony, please don't be like some of these people on Twitter that said he did it on purpose.
I'm not saying he did it on purpose. I doubt this guy intentionally wanted to kill someone on the ice.
No, but like a lot of people are saying...
I don't think that it was an NHL move, what he did.
Well, no, but like, second of all, if you look at... I'm going to try to describe this as best as possible. Like, the camera quality is bad, but you don't see that, like, he collides with another player and that player fucking wipes out his legs.
Okay, so that's what I've been trying. Okay, if yes, that really happened. And,
yeah, he did. Like, he somersaulted. Like, side, but, like, again.
But from my view, from what I've been seeing, I don't see that. So I only see the guy.
No, I know. But, you don't see it. But that's the thing. But there's another player that, like, he collides with another player that sends him, like, flying. And, dude, these guys are pro players. They skate like the fucking wind. Yeah. It may not be NHL speed. It's still fucking fast.
Yeah, 100%.
And those blades are so sharp that you don't need to go really fast to fucking... Sorry, I don't mean to make that gesture. But, yeah, you don't need to go super fast to slice your skin. So, it was... I have to rewatch
the video, but from my angle, from what I've been seeing over and over again, I don't see him getting hit by someone else to cause the fall and to cause a flip. But if there is a video that shows that angle or whatever, then yes, it makes sense, because you've seen it happen in the NHL where, you know, you get hit, the guy falls backwards, the skate goes up, and, you know,
yeah, it's freaky, dude. In all honesty, there's many times where a lot of guys fall, even though the skate is not falling up the air, but like another guy's face is falling so close to that blade.
Mm-hmm.
It's happened so many times. It happens a lot more than we think. We just don't see it because it's happening so fast, and there's not that many replays available. There's a lot more guys that when they're falling head towards the ice, but another player's falling as well without having his skate go up in the air, there's a lot more close calls than we think. Now, granted, not taking it for granted, it might not be the neck area, but holy fuck, sometimes, man, they don't miss by much, like along the face, mm-hmm. either. You know what I mean? You know, so it's look. All it takes is just one incident, and
of course, and everything just opens up.
And unfortunately, it happened. It at the cost of a young man's life. And
yeah, no, for sure.
It's terrible. It's fucking terrible. But yeah,
to answer your question about net guards. I mean, I always believe in protection. I'm on a roll tonight.
I like that. That was good.
So
you're like a hardcore Christian or something. I don't know.
From being a hockey dad, you know, I actually coach my son's
team. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, dude, amateur hockey, you have no choice. So we grew up, like, the kids grow up playing with neck guards. So
yeah.
I think these companies now, like you might see Under Armour or any of these companies that do these undergarments, they're going to try to come up with some technology that protects your neck without having that really feel it. Yeah, exactly. So it's going to happen. A lot of these companies now, they're going to be reactive to this. And
of course, like if
this avoids another player getting his neck sliced and taking his life, you know what? So be it. I'm for it. So
perfect.
That's that.
All right.
Oh, one last thing.
Yeah,
folks, wear a poppy. November 11th is coming up, in honor of our brave men and women of the Canadian military and even the American, all around the world that are serving this country. You know, to preserve our way of life and, you know, the freedom that we have. Without opening any political debates, and especially to honor, you know, the veterans that served this country during a dark time, especially during the Second World War, to fight off evil and tyranny, and the fight for the freedom that we have today. You know, we talk about freedom of speech. We talk about the freedom that we have today to make our choices. If it wasn't for the brave acts of these men, the Canadian military that fought the Second World War from start to finish with the British, part of the British Empire, the common British, the common law with the British, along with the Americans, French, everybody who was brave enough to give their name, give their lives in the name of freedom, wear a poppy, do the right thing. You know, I won't go as far as Don Cherry said, you people. I won't go as far as that, but he's right in a sense. No matter if you're born in this country or if you're moving to this country, wear a poppy when the time comes, especially at the end of October up until November 11th. Wear a poppy in honor of like the history of the men that preserved the freedom of this nation, lest we forget. And that's all I'm going to say about that. That's
amen. Amen to that. Amen to that. Yeah. On that note, ladies and gentlemen, we've come to an end. So if you like what you hear, follow us on YouTube, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, and TikTok. You can listen to us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and any other podcast platform you have. Subscribe to our YouTube channel to see our beautiful faces. Rate and comment and let us know what you think about us. You know, it helps us grow.
It's free. It's free. Tell your friends about us.
Exactly. And until next time, Sam.
Yes, sir. Go Habs go.
Go Habs go. Bye now.
Good night.
Dynasty.